The Financial Survival Network, helping you survive and thrive in the new economy. Go to carrielutz.com and sign up for 30 free micro trainings on financial survival.
1490 WGCH, this is Kerry Lutz, and you're listening to the Financial Survival Network, which is brought to you by Miles Franklin. They've been in business selling gold and silver for over 20 years, and I'm a customer because when you buy, they ship. For more information, find them on the web at milesfranklin.com or give them a call at 800-822-8080 and get a free quote. Kerry Lutz and Mickey Fulp back for the monthly market wrap-up. And the mercenary geologist keeps up on all the major markets, so you know exactly what's going on. And you can find him at mercenarygeologist.com, or you can listen to all of our previous interviews at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, Mickey, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Good to be back. And I'll also tell listeners they can access the same interviews on my archives. So whichever way you want to go on that, we keep our products up and available.
All right. Excellent. So April was kind of a little boring kind of month, wasn't it?
It really was. The major markets, the Dow was even, but it actually hit a four-year high yesterday on May 1. S&P was down 1%. The NASDAQ and the Russell 2000 both down 1.5%. So this tells me that people are interested in the blue chips and everything else is kind of blah, blah, blah. So in the more resource-dominated sectors, the Toronto Stock Exchange down a whopping 8% for the month. But it had shown some decent strength in the first quarter. The TSX Venture is still on a slippery slope to the downside, down 4% of the month. And emerging markets down 1%, again reflecting the slowdown in China.
Hey, Mickey, so the coolest thing is natural gas for the month was up 16%. While everything else is going sideways or down, the real dog has its day.
Well, it has, but, markets spin their way too far on each side, so the pendulum always swings back, and natural gas, which got brutalized down to $1.98 last time we talked, has made a nice little rebound, but that looks to me to be simply what is called a dead cat bounce. I still remain fairly bearish on the near-term to mid-term prospects for natural gas. Oil was up $2 on the month. It's increasingly become range bound, but who wouldn't like $1.05 oil, especially if you're in the oil business? We're going to add something this time, and that's the Brent crude price. So that closed the month at $1.19, and once again we have this arbitrage that goes on between Brent and WTI. If we could figure a way to take advantage of that, $14 a barrel difference right now, so a ratio of 1.13. The problem that you mentioned, we talked about a few minutes ago, was you can't move that North Dakota crude from the shale oil boom. You can't get it to pipeline, and you can't get it to anywhere except the central United States, so that's a problem.
Yeah, they're actually trucking that oil across the state to, I think, Enbridge's pipeline they have there, and they just can't get the pipeline built fast enough. Enbridge has kept increasing the capacity of that pipeline over the past 5 years as the boom progressed, but they're always two steps behind, and yeah, I think if you could find an arbitrage that would work, ordinarily when you see a disparity like that, you buy the cheaper one, you sell the more expensive one, but that it will probably not make you any money playing the Brent to West Texas intermediate arbitrage price difference.
If you could make money at it, somebody would be doing it for sure. And I have heard the I've heard of nobody doing it. So you know, it's an infrastructure problem, and that's the real concern in the United States. Doesn't matter if it's pipelines or refineries or our crumbling bridges, we have infrastructure problems. Uranium has shown a little strength over the month, up 1.5% on the spot price. What we're seeing in the uranium market is more offtake contract, what they call the term market demand at $60. And this has been positive for spot prices because those utilities that normally would be trying to secure longer term contracts are not averse to going in and picking up some uranium on the spot market at this price and stashing away for a rainy day. Also in the uranium space, this month we saw increased merger and acquisition activity with four recent deals occurring worldwide. Most significantly, that there were two of those in the Southwest U.S., which means finally, and I've been hoping this is going to happen for about 5 years now, we're seeing some unitization and rationalization of the Southwest U.S. uranium developers.
Hey, that's a great point. And one other thing I wanted to bring out about energy, what happened this week, Delta Airlines announced they're buying a shuttered refinery in Philadelphia, which will purportedly save them $300 million a year in energy costs. Do you think that that's a trend of kind of verticalization of energy users buying up supply, or at least the ability to produce their product?
Well, I certainly think so. And it occurs to me that 4 or 5 years ago, actually right before the global economic crisis, one of the major airlines, I don't think it might have been Delta, it was either Delta, United, or American, they're in front of Congress wanting a handout because of high energy prices. Meanwhile, at the same time, Barrick Gold was going out and buying oil production. To help with their inflating operating costs, especially in remote mines worldwide that use diesel generators. So that's good news that an airline is perhaps going away from the public dole and trying to do something that's going to help its shareholders and you and I who spend a lot of time on airplanes.
I don't want to talk about it. You know, there was a off topic totally, but there was a study just put out of the best airports in the U.S. and the worst. And I am proud to say that I frequently use the worst airport in the country, which is LaGuardia, because it's like a third world country there, and yet it's so convenient. And in certain respects, they weren't fair to it, but everybody's nasty. The place is filthy. It's falling to pieces. And you just cringe when you walk in the place, but you can get in and out of that airport really fast, which for a New Yorker is a big deal. But yeah, hopefully these airlines will start spending some money, or getting some of that money that they're getting from the government, to fix up the damn terminals and treat us like human beings.
Well, the alternative is fly into a nice airport at Newark, but then you got a $75 cab ride versus a $35 cab ride to Midtown Manhattan.
But you can take the train, but that's for another day. But you're going to be...
I've done that once.
I'm not pushing mass transit. I'll never do that. Forget it. I'll stick to the car. On to metals, Mickey.
Metals markets, we're a mixed bag. Gold was even on the month, it's been flat and going on its third consecutive month of small losses. There's just basically no demand for gold right now, no ETF demand. India, a little demand coming out of there. U.S. coin sales are very much down. the only interest we see in the gold market right now is central bank buying, which of course is positive. It means the banksters see something that the investing public does not, or speculating public does not. Silver down 4% of the month. It's always more volatile than gold. Here's a bit of a puzzler to me. Platinum down 4%. Not really sure why. You made a point that it was up something on the order of 27% for the year. And so maybe this is just knocking a little froth off the top. It certainly is not because of problems with car sales, because palladium, which is used more than platinum now in family vehicles and cars, was up 5% over the month, and that is certainly attributable to the big three. U.S. auto sales hit a record high since the global financial crisis. Metal ratios, gold and silver at 54, we're comfortable with that. Platinum to gold, we were all very proud of our prediction of that ratio going back over one. It stayed above one for a few trading sessions. It's back down to 0.94. In my opinion, that's still out of whack within a historical context. Platinum palladium ratio back down to 2.3. Copper was even over the month. It made a really big rally at month end, something on the order of 23 or 24 cents. And that was simply the shorts got squeezed, and I hope they got hurt really bad.
Yeah, well, copper, like you say, it's really an extremely reliable indicator of economic vibrance and activity. And we've seen it just kind of stagnating like the other markets. They're all fairly well range bound, and that only lasts so long historically as well, because markets are always looking to find their own level, and they know where they should be better than we do. But when you see all these different markets stagnating, and then you see the one dog perform, you know something is going to happen.
Well, I wrote a piece, and we probably talked about it at some point. I wrote a piece in the early part of the year called Embrace Volatility, and that was spawned by the extreme volatility we had in the late Q3 and Q4 of 2011. We are without volatility now. It makes for dull markets. So I would welcome a little volatility and something to shake these markets up so we can get some buying and selling opportunities out of it. All we see in the Toronto Venture Exchange, where I mainly speculate, is down, down, down. There are some commodities that have good interest, and that would be the oil business and, of course, graphite.
Graphite's big.
Yeah, it's the next bubble. I've got a piece coming out in the next week or so on that. Copper, I'm very happy with copper between $3.50 and $4, because that's a nice, robust price. It indicates that we have some stabilization in the world. Dr. Copper does have a PhD in economics. So as long as copper floats in that range between $3.50 and $4, that puts a smile on this mercenary geologist's face.
Hey, well, dull markets also make for sometimes dull radio, but hopefully in the Financial Survival Network, we can liven things up a bit, because today, as we're speaking, gold's getting slammed. You know, it's May 3rd. 2 days after May Day, and gold's down $19.80 an ounce, and the jobless claims dropped. And if you ever are a student of the markets and you want to see a cycle repeating itself over and over again, watch the metals markets get slammed with every jobs report over and over again. In fact, it's a rarity when the metals don't get hit when there's a job number.
Well, that's true, and I'm looking today at copper. It's presently down 6 cents on the day. So the copper market has gotten slammed also, and right now I'm looking, the copper market is in slight backwardation for the July and September contracts.
Which is always quite bullish.
It is. It indicates generally tight supplies, so... let's hope China doesn't have a hard landing, and I'm not even convinced it's going to have a soft landing, but as goes China, so goes the copper market these days.
I think so, and we're going to be seeing you this month at the Hard Assets Conference in New York.
That's true.
Yeah, and you're speaking there, right?
Yes, I have a couple of speaking engagements. The conference is Monday and Tuesday, May 14th and May 15th. Tell you the truth, I have no idea when I'm speaking right now, but two public appearances. I will be in your fine city a week from tomorrow, going to combine going on my typical busman's holiday. I'm going to be in New York on the 11th. Got the whole weekend. Going to go see a Yankee game. A couple of days at the conference. Then my significant other and I are taking a trip. We're going to Cooperstown, and we're going to see a concert at Woodstock. So looking very much forward. I've never been to upstate New York, and very much looking forward to that.
Well, upstate New York is largely an economic wasteland. It's when the Industrial Revolution ended, they should have just picked up a lot of those towns and just moved them. And what you see is that New York, because I'm getting off topic again, but New York in a recent economic study came in dead last in economic climate in the country. And you would have to be a complete masochist driven towards bankruptcy and self-immolation to want to open up any kind of business in New York State. They're just after you from the moment you get your taxpayer ID number to the moment you file your termination. They are all over you like white on rice. So just a word of warning to you out there, if you're thinking about working in New York, that's what you're up against, but somehow there's entrepreneurs like me who figure out a way to move on and get around the system. That's what I've been doing my whole life in this state. But honestly, Mickey, I'm getting tired of it. And, you know, who knows? There could be greener pastures where all those green shoots for the economic recovery are now blooming, and I might wind up there someday.
Well, it's brown where I live, so but that doesn't mean we don't have a boisterous economy. And I have no intention of relocating to upstate New York, but it sure looks like Cooperstown is a beautiful place, and the same with Woodstock, and we're going to drive around till we find Big Pink, the house where the band did their first album and recorded some early stuff with Bob Dylan. So we're very much looking forward to our little vacation in upstate New York.
Hey, you'll have a good time. It's really fun up there. Woodstock is cool because you get a little bit of the flavor of what was there. There's now like a arts center that some billionaire built there recently, and they've got concerts. And you kind of get a feel for what it was like. And hey, if you want to meet Mickey, if you want to hear him speak, come over to the Hard Assets Conference. It's going to be at the Marriott Grand Marquis, located in lovely Times Square in New York City. The best thing is it's free. Free to get in, free to watch the sessions, and you'll have a good time and meet a lot of people who are big in the metals and commodities industry. All right, Mickey, we're going to wrap up, but we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. I'll interview you live from the floor at Hard Assets, and we'll talk to you then.
Okay, look forward to it. Look forward to seeing you, Kerry. Thanks.
You too.